Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we've told you already, we're preaching this sermon series called Wise Guys, Practical Wisdom from Godly People, where we're introducing you to these characters from the Bible who are described as people having wisdom, godly wisdom, and we're looking at what they said and did in order that as we live in this world, we too can be filled with practical, godly wisdom to live life with a bold and active faith. And so far in this sermon series, we've introduced you to characters that have been likely somewhat familiar to you, at least by name. The first week, we looked at the quote-unquote wise men who came to visit Jesus after he was born and bring him gifts. Last week, we looked at Solomon, the one who's probably most well-known in the Bible and even in secular culture as being a historical man of great wisdom. We actually read in 1 Kings 4 today about Solomon's wisdom. And I just want to reread this again. It's crazy. It says that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. His songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from cedar that is in Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the wall. He spoke of beasts and of birds and of reptiles and fish, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon. So Solomon being the wisest of all wise guys. But then in 1 Kings 4, after describing all of Solomon's wisdom, it goes on to say he was wiser than, and it lists some names of other people who were at that time also known to be wise guys, if you will. And these two of them are going to be our wise guys for today, He-Man and Ethan. He-Man and Ethan. So these are the guys we're going to look at here today. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't know what Ethan looked like. There's no historical evidence for Ethan, but He-Man, on the other hand, we actually have photographic evidence of He-Man. I don't know, this is He-Man. So if you grew up in the 80s like I did, you probably had this toy because we didn't have much to choose from. So my brother and I played with He-Man, and unfortunately, this is not the real He-Man from the Bible. It's not even spelled the same. I just couldn't help myself. So there's a picture of He-Man from my childhood. All right, so we're looking at He-Man and Ethan here today. And again, in 1 Kings 4, it says that Solomon was wiser than these guys. And he certainly was. But they too are listed because they were people who obviously were respected as men of great wisdom in their own right. We don't know a lot about He-Man and Ethan other than the fact that they're listed here in 1 Kings 4, and each of them have a psalm attributed to them and their authorship. He-Man is credited as the author of Psalm 88 and Ethan of Psalm 89. So let's take a look at what they have to say today. Here's how He-Man starts Psalm 88. He says, "O Lord, God of my salvation, I cry out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you and incline your ear to my cry." Sound like bold words of faith? A man of great wisdom to express a faith that cries out to God both day and night, night and day, always the word of God upon his mind and upon his lips. That's verse 1 and 2 of Psalm 88. And then here's verse 3. The first two are still up there, and then it adds on. "For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I'm counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm a man who has no strength, like one set loose among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand." Whoa. It sounds pretty rough for he, man. It sounds like things are not going too well for him in his life. He even goes so far, if you keep reading, he even puts the responsibility on God, essentially blaming him for the hardship that he's going through. And he, man, goes on and on like this, but then he'll jump back in the psalm, and then he will say, "Every day I call upon you, O Lord." And then right back to his hardships and all the things he's going through. And then he bounces back and he says, "O Lord, I cry to you in the morning. I lift my prayers to you." And then right back to more hardship and more lament to God. So what can we learn from He-Man? What wisdom can we gain from this wise guy? Well, I'd say just because we cry out to God, even in faith-filled prayer, even every day, every morning, every night, even though we do that, hardships will still come. But here's what we can learn from He-Man. He never relents of his faith. He never turns away from God. It's actually because of his faith that he speaks such strong words of honesty to his God. And the hardships of his life are what seem to draw him deeper and deeper into a continual prayer life and into a deeper and deeper relationship with his God. I get He-Man's frustration, though. We are all like this. In a world of instant gratification, instant satisfaction, instant knowledge, instant answers, any time that we have to wait for anything, it's hard, let alone when actual hardships come. And as we wait for the resolution of those hardships, if we're people of faith, we often cry out to God and ask Him, "Lord, what are you doing? Do you hear me? Will you give me deliverance from this thing?" And sometimes I think, like He-Man, we might feel like God doesn't hear us, like God doesn't answer us. And so maybe we get more perturbed, maybe we get more frustrated. And so then we cry out again, "Lord, do you hear me? Do you hear my cries to you, O God?" Just yesterday, my whole family was at Mount Ripley downhill skiing. My wife, my three older kids, and even Ari, the two-year-old, we're trying to get him exposed to some downhill skiing at an early age so we can move this train along and get the whole family out on the ski hill together. So I tried something with Ari, our two-year-old, that I haven't tried with the three older kids, and I strapped him in a hiking backpack on my back. And everything went fine. So if you think the story is going to turn into something bad, nothing bad happened. But we would ride the T-bar, which if you're not familiar with it, it's just a thing that pulls you up. And we only did Midway, the little bunny hill. And we just did that over and over again. He's in my backpack, and he kept saying over and over again, "Go fast, Dad. Faster, Dad. Really fast. Really fun. Really fun, Dad. This is really fun." And we get to the bottom, and we wait in line. And it didn't matter how many people were in line, if it was 3 or 30, he would be in my ear. "Again, Dad, go. Dad, go. Again, Dad, go. Again, Dad, go." Patience is not something that we're born with. It's learned through the experience of enduring. That's He-Man. What about Ethan? Ethan is attributed with Psalm 89. He begins like this, kind of opposite to He-Man. He begins with bold praise. He says, "I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth, I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever. In the heavens, you will establish your faithfulness. You've said, I've made a covenant with my chosen one. I've sworn to David, my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of your holy ones. There's a lot of words here, but I think you see the spirit of bold faith, bold proclamation of the promises of God, acknowledging and praising God for his goodness. And Ethan goes on and on like this for 37 verses. It's awesome. And then you get to verse 38, and for 14 verses, he begins to tell God of all the hardships he's facing. He feels like God has left him. He feels rejected by God. He even says, Lord, where is your steadfast love? But then he finishes his psalm with a bold proclamation as well. Blessed be the Lord forever and ever. Amen. All right, between these two wise guys, what can we learn? Here's what we see. We learn that to be wise is to learn how to endure. To be wise, to grow in wisdom, is to also grow in patience. Patience for God to act even in the midst of our hardship. Patience for God to act even if we don't know when he's going to act. Wisdom calls us not to recant of our faith, not to turn away from God, but in faith to cry out to God, boldly clinging to him, just like you do with your closest relatives, the ones who you can just kind of really give your honest truth to. That's what we can do with our God. We cry out to him, putting our full trust in his promises. And in doing so, we gain more wisdom and therefore more patience. There was an early church father, perhaps known to you at least by name. His name is Saint Augustine. And Augustine said these words, patience is the companion of wisdom. He understood that as you gain wisdom, you gain patience. As you gain wisdom, you gain patience. Now Jesus speaks to his disciples not that long before he's crucified. We read these words today, but it's worth repeating today. I want to highlight a few things. Jesus says in Luke 21, gives firm instruction to his disciples, before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. Jesus speaks these bold words to his disciples to let them know of hardship that will come when they boldly proclaim the name of Jesus in this hostile world. He says, there will be people who will not like your proclamation of the gospel, and some of you will even die. For the 12 apostles that received this word from Jesus, the vast majority of them lost their lives for their gospel proclamation. But what does Jesus say? He says, when this happens, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. Even as they're throwing stones at you or crucifying you, here is your opportunity to proclaim victory over the grave through the resurrection of Jesus. Be your opportunity to bear witness when difficulty comes. And Jesus says, if you don't know what to say, don't worry about it. I will give you a mouth and wisdom. I will, by the power of my Spirit, give you a bigger perspective on what's going on, to see that even this death will not be your end. And I will give you words to say and understanding in your minds. And in the end, even if they take your life, it's not even the end. For I will give you everlasting life. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. It is the wisdom that Jesus gave to these apostles, this mouth and this wisdom that Jesus promises. It is these words that then fill the New Testament scriptures in our Bible. These men who were given the mouth and wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit and who endured immense persecution for the faith wrote the words of the New Testament. And one of the most prolific authors of the New Testament is the Apostle Paul. And I want to look at his words for you today as well. In Romans 5, he gives this bold declaration of our salvation. He says, we've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Praise be to God. This is the good news of salvation. You have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Praise be to our God. We rejoice in our God. This cannot be taken from you. This cannot be thwarted. The devil cannot snatch this promise of God from you. You are secure and firm in the hands of your Almighty God. What good news that is. And that's why Paul goes on to say, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. We rejoice in our sufferings, okay. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Not only does wisdom teach us how to patiently endure hardship, that's hard enough, wisdom also teaches us to rejoice in our sufferings. And that's another level of wisdom and patience. To cry out to God and say, yeah, you are my only hope. In this hardship, you are the only one I cling to. In this persecution, even if my life is threatened, you've given me eternal life. Sure, I'll rejoice in my suffering because you're producing endurance in me, and that endurance strengthens my faith in you. It increases my prayer life in you. I grow closer to you, understanding your suffering. I'll rejoice in my suffering. And in doing so, bring a bold witness to the world of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. We can learn so much from these wise guys in the Bible. And they have wisdom to share because they've gone before us in this life in order to talk back to us and explain to us what we're going to have to face. There are wise guys in the Bible, and there are wise guys in this life as well. People who have gone before us and gained practical and godly wisdom that they can share with us. Here at church over the last couple of weeks, and we're going to continue today to pray for my grandpa, Wayne. This is my grandpa on the far right. They came up to visit us in October 2022. They live in Houston, Texas. I've seen them since then, but this is grandpa and the boys, and we were able to do a little bit of fishing together like I did with my grandpa growing up. And my grandpa's now at home on hospice care. And last week I called him and had an awesome chat with my grandpa. And he asked me on the phone, hey Aaron, what's your favorite psalm? I didn't say Psalm 88 or 89. I said Psalm 46, actually. That's the one in verse 10 where it says, be still and know that I'm God. My grandpa said that's his favorite as well. He went on to explain why it is and what it means to him. And then he said to me, he said, Aaron, God's word is filled with so many comforting words. The hard thing is I just don't know which one to choose because they start in Genesis 1:1 and end in Revelation 22:21. And then he chuckled. There are wise people in the Bible and in this life, people who point us to Jesus. People who, in the midst of hospice care, in the midst of their dying, in the midst of their suffering, cling to Jesus, point us to Jesus. I thank God for people like Paul and like He-Man and like Ethan and like my grandpa. And may we all be so filled with the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of God that we can not only patiently endure the hardships of this life, but even rejoice in our sufferings, and in so doing, proclaim to the world the patience that our God has with us, our God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love for us. Let us cling to these words of Jesus and boldly proclaim to this world the goodness of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.